Good morning to you guys. Forgive my voice. I had to yell at the TV a little bit on Friday morning as the U.S. played in soccer. Not at the referee, at our back four for not playing defense. And I'm a soccer fanatic, so we're right in the middle of that. But how many of you dads are here this morning and you've already had the experience of either watching your daughter get married or your son get married and you've done that whole wedding thing and the expense and all the fun of that? How many of you dads have done that? How many of you dads have not done that and you're not looking forward to that, right? Like, I'm hoping my two daughters become the first Baptist nuns, right? So I don't have to do that. But weddings are great. I mean, they're fun. But once you've been to like three, you kind of know the routine and kind of what goes on and what happens. So I like it when something goes. I've been to a million weddings. When something goes just a little bit wrong, just to add some excitement to the wedding, you know, like the cake gets knocked over or something cool like that. And I've seen things happen over the years. Two of the things I've seen happen, my father-in-law, who has a friend who was actually marrying a family member, and you know how the father and the bride come down the aisle and stand there, and then the minister asks the question, well, this guy really messed up because he said this, who gives this bride to be bread? Not exactly what you want to say. I have another friend, it was his first wedding he ever did, his name's Kelly Wolverton, and he said he was terrified, he was so nervous about doing this wedding, he had never done one, you know, you don't want to mess that up, and the girl that he was officiating the ceremony for was like his little sister. I mean, he had known her for years, wasn't related, but just really close to her, and so they're standing there, he's standing in the middle, you know, the bride and the groom are here, and he goes through the whole ceremony, he says, I had it right, I didn't mess up. He was so excited. He said, and then he was going to turn and present them. He said, now I present to you. But he forgot to do one thing. He forgot to do the part where you say, you may kiss the bride. And so the bride looks at him. She's panicking a little bit because she wants that to be a part of the ceremony. And she looks at the guy officiating, my friend Kelly, and she goes, no, no, kiss me, kiss me. He's like, okay. Gives her a peck on the cheek and backs off. Didn't like mug down on her or anything. But everybody did what you did. They were like, oh, the oxygen just came out of the room. Why? Man, that makes weddings fun, right? In Jesus' day, weddings were a big deal too. In fact, if you brought a gift to a wedding that wasn't considered the quality of gift it needed to be, the wedding party could actually take out a lawsuit on you. Some of you litigation lawyers are going, yes, a new marketplace. But hospitality was huge. And so this morning what I want us to do is I want us to go into the second chapter of the Gospel of John. And we're talking about, I love this place. In the first week we had the door up on stage. And we talked about what does it mean to open the door to this place. Last week, if you remember, I had the operation table on the thing. And we talked about God takes you as a body part and transplants you into his body, into a new body. And so this morning you see this giant pot or this giant vessel on stage. I want to unpack John 2 and show some implications that it has for us, for you as a member who calls this place Northwood your church home. And so I want you to kind of hear it with those ears on. And let's look in John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus was also invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no more wine. And some of you hardcore Baptists are going, what's the problem with that? Right? That's a good thing. Some of you guys are going, why didn't they just make a beer run? Right? There's not a lot of beer stores in first century Palestine. What's going on here? What's going on? When they say they ran out of wine, that was one of the ultimate shaming things that could happen in the first century context. Why? You know how like we're all about the bling and the money and the profit? They were all about hospitality and honor and not shaming someone, which is, by the way, one of the reasons the cross was so horrific. It was one of the most shaming things that could happen to any family is somebody to die on a cross. And so the fact, in a much less level, they have run out of wine, told all their guests that had come, is we didn't really give this enough forethought to know and consider you, that you were coming, and so we've run out of wine. And how tough is that? Have you ever been to a party and you've had to be the one, they've run out of something, you've had to be the person that goes to the host and go, dude, you're out of hamburgers, and there's still like 25 people in line, right? It's just uncomfortable. And so they're in this very uncomfortable predicament because there's not enough wine, and hospitality was huge. Listen to this to Northwood Church. God wants us to be prepared for our guest too. As God literally opens the door to the hundreds of thousands of people that live within a short radius of this place who don't know Jesus Christ, God wants us to be prepared for them, to put on an exhibit of his love and his grace for them, because God values them. God forbid that we should ever be the church that isn't prepared, the doors aren't ready, the place isn't friendly for people who would walk into this place, because God literally wants to see thousands of lives transformed through the ministry of this church. And God says this: the degree of preparation that you make at Northwood Church gives people a picture of the degree that I value them. Because we are the body of Christ. We're the hands and feet of Christ. And so how we welcome people that walk into this place, the kind of hospitality we show them, gives them a picture of how God values them. So it's much larger than just being a nice place to come. And so we try to do that very intentionally at Northwood. Man, we got parkers out there who in August will be out there when it's really hot, but they're waving people in with a smile, encouraging people as they come here. We've got greeters that welcome people as they come in, will walk you to get your kids to the class. We've got ushers to help you get seated and get the stuff you need. But listen, we are crazy if we think that that alone is sufficient to show people the hospitality they desire in this place. God has called every one of you as a member of this place to put on display God's friendliness, if you would, towards other people. If you remember, Jesus was called a friend of sinners. And so Jesus has called you, as you walk through this morning through the lobby or through the village or the kids area, and you see somebody that looks lost, not to go, somebody else will help them, but literally to stop and give them a smile and say, hey, do you guys know where you're going? If they say, yeah, then something else happened. They just look a little confused, but you might be the one to say, hey, let me take you there and get you where you need to go. Why? Because the degree that we are friendly, that we are open, that we are hospitable to people, gives them a picture of how God values them. And listen, God values people hugely. In fact, in the Bible, over and over again, you see the value God gives to the lost person who comes in, where he leaves the 99 sheep and go gets the one. Or he finds the lost coin. Or the only time we ever hear of God getting in a hurry in the Bible is when the prodigal son, a sinner, came home, and it said that God ran off the porch to him. And God calls us to have the same attitude as Northwood Church, because people need Jesus, and God has called us to be his body and to put on before them an exhibit of his extravagant love for people who would walk into this place. Amen? And so you play a role in that, whether you have the official position of that or not. Let's keep reading. Verse 4. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." What a statement. I'm thinking about if my son makes that statement to his mom. "Corbin, go clean your room." "Woman, it is not my hour. My time has not yet come." Piper would look at him and he would realize he messed up big. She'd say, "Why did you say that?" "Jesus said it. I don't know why." You know what Piper would tell him? "That's good, because you're fixing to meet him face to face. You can ask him when you see him." What's Jesus doing here? What's Jesus doing here? Is he trying to be disrespectful to his mom? Actually, "woman" is not the derogatory term we would hear. It's more like "ma'am," but still, it's a very brusque answer. It's kind of, you know, kind of, wow, we don't expect that from Jesus, yet he's going to go ahead and do what she says. Listen, here's what is going on underneath that. Jesus is saying, "I'm not here to do a trick show for anybody. This isn't a dog and pony show where I'm going to do tricks." And in fact, in a culture that was very much driven by family, and if you had family, you were kind of in, and everything was done between the family network. And you know, if you were the king, your son got to be the prince, everything was done along the line of the families. Jesus is telling her, "No, my kingdom is going to look a little different. It's not going to be along the lines of bloodline family stuff, where it's my mother literally and my brothers, but it's a family of faith, that people who believe I can do what I say I'm going to do." And Jesus says also, "Listen, I'm not going to just do this to do a trick for a local area. I have a much bigger picture. I'm going to do it, but I want you to know, Mom, I'm doing it for a greater purpose than what you're going to see, which we'll find out what that is in a minute. But Jesus is enlarging the sphere. And so he's saying to his mom, I honor you, I value you, but I have a new heavenly father, a heavenly father who's always been my heavenly father. But here on earth, as I start my ministry, listen, John says this, what the Father shows me, I will do. Mom, I love you, but God has called me on mission, and I'm going to carry out the mission, which is to be about reconciliation that he has called me to. And it's by faith, not by family. Look at verse 5. Mary gets it. I don't know what her reaction is. I wish sometimes we had more detail, but we don't. Listen to what she says. He just told her, my hour has not come. You know how sometimes your kids will tell you something? The mom's thinking, he's going to do it. She has faith. Listen to what she says. His mother said to the servants, maybe you underline this phrase. This is a key phrase. Do whatever he tells you. Simple obedience. She looks at Jesus. She looks at the servants. She says, do whatever he tells you. She heads back into the wedding. Do whatever he tells you. I didn't realize this, but Mary started the first discipleship program. Do whatever he tells you. End of story. Do it. He tells you to do it. You hear it? Do it. So Mary comes along and says that, and now look at verse 6. So now we see the reaction of what's going to happen. Now there were 6 stone jars, water jars there for Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. That's about this size. Okay, made of stone. The reason it was made of stone, it gives us some insight into what's going on here, and it's for purification. This wasn't your normal pitcher that you would serve wine out of. In fact, this was actually outside of a Jewish home. It was a purification. It's more like a bathtub than a pitcher. And what would happen if you came to a Jewish home, things were dusty, and as part of the Jewish tradition, when you went into a home, you would purify yourself. Some of you went to the mosque with us, and we had to wash. You would wash yourself, just like they do in a Middle Eastern culture, as a rite of purification. So we're going to see in a little bit, but it's very interesting that Jesus chose these huge vessels and said, take those, verse 7. And he says, fill the jars with water. And they filled them, what does it say? To the what? Brim. They filled them to the brim. Wow. 20 to 30 gallons, that comes out to like anywhere from 160 to 250 pounds. And they didn't just take it to the water faucet at the backside of the house. Then to carry these things to the city well, dip them in, I don't know if they carried them by twos or what, but it says they filled them. And it would have been very easy for them to go, dude, this is really heavy. I'm going to fill this thing up halfway so we can get it back. No, it said they did it with excellence. They served Jesus with excellence. It said they filled it to the brim to the top. And my question to you as you serve and minister to Jesus, is that your attitude? Jesus, I'm going to fill it to the brim because I know you have great things planned. Or do you kind of think, man, this is heavy. I got to keep some stuff in reserve for myself. So I'm going to kind of halfway fill this up. And it wasn't pretty work. Carrying this pot wasn't fun. But God called him to it. And Mary had said, do whatever he tells you. And so they were faithful to carry this pot, to serve the need of the moment. That's what God's telling us at Northwood Church. Will you be a pot carrier? Will you be a vessel carrier? Will you fill it to the brim? I don't know if you know this, but while you are worshiping right now during this hour, all kinds of other stuff is happening on this campus. In order for this part of the ministry to happen, just while you're here, you might not know this, there were 60 First Impression team people that either got you onto the parking lot or got you in the door or the greeters or got you where you needed to be this morning. 60 people carried those pots this morning. Right now, there's 141 workers with our kids making sure that God is ministering to them on their level. This morning, there's been 36 student ministers that poured out their life into students as they do their Bible study time. And there's 65 folks involved in the total capacity of worship from tech to bridge team to all that. So for us, not other ministries at Northwood Church, just Sunday morning, just to allow Sunday morning to happen to minister to us, it required 640 pots that had to be carried this morning. And interestingly enough, every staff member that I talked to when I gathered these numbers said that that's what we can do it with. It would be even better if we had more pots to carry it with. And listen, God is calling us to be servants, to fill it to the brim with excellence, and to be pot carriers for him to serve this place, this body that he's called you into. Look at verse 8. Now he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. He said, get some of the stuff out that you think is water that's in there. Now watch this. So they took it. And when the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine, he did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first. And when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. You know what that guy's saying? Listen, he's saying, if you have Cabernet and Ripple, you serve the Cabernet first. And then as the palate gets deadened, you bring out the Ripple. But Jesus has made wine so good in this miracle process that it's inverted it, and the good quality wine that the bridegroom had served doesn't even stand up to Jesus' wine, and it causes some confusion in this place. Now let's talk about the implications for us, because there's two huge points I want you to get out of this story. Two things God is telling us from this text as you consider, I love this place. What's my place here? How do I serve this place? Number one, everyone gets to taste grace, but only servants get to see the transformation process. Think about that for a minute. Everybody gets to taste grace, right? All the people got to taste the wine, but who knew how the wine got there? Only the servants. Look at what it says. Though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Listen, in your joy in your Christian life and your fulfillment and maturity in your Christian life, that is a huge statement, because those who serve get to see the miraculous things of God happen behind the scenes in the transformation process. These guys said, wow, that was just water and now it's wine, and nobody else realized the full ramification of that. That's true today. Some of you guys serve in a ministry here, and you'll see somebody maybe get baptized and they came to faith in Christ, and maybe you were their adult coach, or maybe you were their T-Kids coach, and man, when they get baptized, everybody in the room gets to taste the grace. We're all like, woo, 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 great, they got baptized. But some of you guys know the miraculous transformation process that happened behind the scenes because you serve faithfully. And you know where God brought that person. And so we're all clapping and yelling. You're clapping, but tears are coming down your eyes because you realize a miracle is happening right in front of your eyes that the rest of us can't see because we didn't serve in the capacity that you served in. And that begins to bring you joy and maturity in your Christian life, because all of a sudden you begin to see God do the miraculous over and over again, and you're aware of it because you are in a role of a servant, and only the servants get to see the transformation process. Second point is this. You don't have any clue how God is going to take your simple and obedient act and service and use it and magnify it and glorify it for his kingdom. These guys weren't thinking on that scale. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Fill the pot to the, they say, yes, sir, we're gonna do it with excellence. They carry these huge pots. They fill it to the brim. They bring it back. They set it down. All they were doing in their mind was fulfilling an order for Jesus to make refreshments for a party. They never knew that their act would go down in John chapter 2 for 2,000 years later, us to be reading about a picture of grace. They had no clue of that. You know what Jesus was saying when he told them to take the pots? This was a huge picture for somebody who was Jewish. Huge. It's not like he just needed a big pot to make refreshments in. It wasn't trash can punch. What was going on here? Jesus took the very thing that every Jew who looked in there would say, wait a second, that's our purification vessel. We purify ourselves in that externally. Now it's filled not with water, but when in their culture was much more valuable, wine. You know what Jesus was telling them? Listen, Judaism is great, the law is great, but it is not sufficient for you to be purified for. I have come, I will be the ultimate purifier as I go to the cross on your behalf. I will be your forever perfect purifying sacrifice. A Jewish person who saw that would have wondered why he was using the vessel. The guys who carried the pots, they had no clue God was intending to do that. You never know how God is going to use your simple obedience. When we brought our first exchange student over from Vietnam, we had no clue what doors would open. We just had a couple who was obedient to Jesus and followed what they heard Jesus tell them to do, and God blew the doors off of it, and God said, listen, there's a whole invisible kingdom operating behind the visible kingdom, and you see the visible, but I'm the God of the invisible. There's all kinds of huge stuff happening. Some of you, God is calling you to rock a two-year-old in our nursery, and you're thinking, wow, man, that's a lot like carrying a pot. You have no clue what God's plans or intentions are for that young man or young woman toddler that you're rocking. You could be the next pastor of this church. They could be a world leader. They could be a myriad of things. And what you're doing in that moment, at their level, you're expressing the love of Jesus to them in the most simple and obedient ways. And so God is calling us to simple, sacrificial, obedient service of him. And he says, when you do that, I'll blow the doors off what you could ever imagine if you'll just do whatever I tell you and be faithful to serve. And Jesus kind of caps the story like this, and this is cool. Verse 11. This is the first of his signs. He's pointing, he's not doing a miracle, he's not doing a trick, he's pointing back to himself and what he's going to accomplish. Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory. He's shown forth the heaviness or the weight or the full essence of God. He was begin to be making his Father known to these people through his act. Now watch this. These servants served in the simplest way. They carried a 200-pound pot, and watch what happens. And his disciples believed in him. When you're willing to carry the pot filled to the brim, God will begin to draw people to himself. This room won't be able to, if we really all became pot carriers for Jesus Christ in Northwood, what does the body need? I'll serve in that role. I'll plug in that role. We wouldn't be able to contain the amount of people that God wants to bring into this place who are desperate to experience the love of Jesus as we put on an exhibition of the hospitality and the extravagant love of Jesus Christ in front of them by saying, you're our guest. Welcome here. We want to serve you. And we just become pot carriers for the kingdom of God. That is what God desires. You will never know how God will magnify your smile in the parking lot. As somebody who drives onto this campus and you just wave them on with joy and get them to where they need to go and make their experience a little more fluid, you have no clue what backstory they are bringing to this place, what hurt and pain, and that smile that morning might be the transformational difference in their life for that Sunday where they say, wow, somebody put a display of God's love on before me. So my question to you this morning is this. Are you willing to carry a pot? You want to be out of the spotlight, doing what is necessary to offer the guests who come into this place the hospitality of Jesus Christ, and then to sit back and watch God take our small, simple obedience and magnify it and make it extravagant and useful for his kingdom. That's the call. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do just as a point of obedience this morning. Just look in your bulletin, and inside there's this insert. Some of you saw it last week. Some of you weren't here last week. Some of you saw it last week and ducked it, right? Like, oh, surely I can just skip this week and they won't ask me to do this again. And God was working in your heart, and God's began to work on your heart. And he's saying, I'm calling you to a role here to be a pot carrier because you're at this place and involved in this place. And here's what I want you to do over the next minute. God, just look over this list and say, God, what pot might be you calling me to carry? What vessel can I fill to the brim? And just look over this list, and if God is something that's just kind of resonating with your heart or there's curiosity, maybe the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart saying, check this out. Simply on the column that says, I'm interested, check off that box. If you're already serving, man, check that off too. Fill out where you're already serving at. goal is not to burden you down. Our goal is to put you in a position to see the miraculous work and the transformative power of Jesus Christ. There's a second thing we know is this is true. Omar shared this stat that 80% of people who serve in a church, do you know why they serve? Somebody simply walked up and said, hey, will you come serve with me? Would you come alongside me? Would you serve? And some of you know people in this church, and God's called us. Remember last week we said to be a body. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do right now. I know we tell you to turn, you silence your cell phone, but right now I want you to get your cell phone out. Maybe scroll through your address book of people you know who go here, and maybe you know they're not plugged into a ministry. And here's what you ought to do. You ought to just shoot them a text right now and say, next week I'm serving at kids ministry or Parker. Why don't you come alongside of me and serve? Just shoot them that message. Just do it. This simple ask. The simple point of obedience, come alongside me and serve. Or maybe you see them in the lie in the village in a minute or somewhere in the building and say, come alongside me, plug into this place, because here's what you're going to get to see, the miraculous power of Jesus Christ that you don't get to see when you just taste grace, but when you serve, you get to see it in a whole new way. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward during this time. How many of you want to see this place filled with people who need Jesus Christ? How many of you want to see that? Amen. Listen, that takes your time, but that also takes your financial resources. Because God has called us to do some things, to take trips to Vietnam, to have a sports camp where we literally open the doors for 700 or 800 kids. That takes financial resources, and God is calling us as a people this morning in this place to not fill halfway, but to be brim givers with our financial resources and just say, God, take this, magnify this money that we're going to give and use it to reach lost people for your kingdom. And God says, I will do that because you gave in faith to me. So don't just give what's comfortable this morning. Give to him in faith. And as that plate passes, you also drop that insert off in there as you give of your life as well. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. God, I thank you that Jesus listened to his ultimate father. And God, that you've called us like Mary called the servants to carry pots, whatever he says that we would do it. And God forbid that we should be a church that doesn't welcome lost people in here. But God, transform our hearts to have the same passion and care for the lost that you do. It's in Jesus' name that we pray this. And God's people said, amen. You guys check out these opportunities around Northwood Church.